Okay, thank you for a wonderful musical program this morning. I love good music, and I thank God for Brother Peter Wright. Brother Peter's one of my top pianists. I love to hear him play. I really do. He's a dear friend. You know, I really have enjoyed my stay with you all here. It's been a blessing to be with you all. And I knew, as a matter of fact, before Dr. Marriott came here to be the president, I was preaching to a large group of pastors in the state of Michigan. And I told them, I said, when Dr. Marriott goes to Maranatha, he will do a phenomenal job. And I said, equally, his wife will do a great job. And then I imitated his wife to the pastors. I said, here is what she will do. She'll walk up to the girls and say, girls, can I get you a cup of coffee today? Oh, can I buy anything for you at the store? You know, we're so glad to have you at Maranatha. Yes, you know. Well, that's what Mrs. Marriott is, isn't she? Now, people imitate me all the time, Miriam, so I hope you don't mind that, all right? you know, I want to say a word about my family. I could do this, all right? I got the time to do this with you all. I have three sons. All three of my boys, they travel in evangelism. My oldest son's name is Todd, and his wife, Krista. They're preaching this week, or he's preaching this week in New York State. My middle son's name is Brent, and his wife's name is Becky, and he's a full-time evangelist. My youngest son's name is Scott. His wife's name is Debbie, and they travel nationwide as well. And the only thing I require of my three boys is they give 10% of every love offering back to mom and dad. Well, and I've got a beautiful daughter named Jennifer. And our tradition in our home is we always come home together at Thanksgiving. We have our time together, and that's when we all go hunting. This has been a tradition since the boys have been small. But a young man got interested in my daughter Jennifer a few years ago. And I said to him, because he came down to our home, I said, Mike, you cannot marry my daughter until, first of all, you kill a deer. He said, yes, sir. And so he got 4:30 every morning. He hunted real hard. He didn't kill a thing. And he went back to Indiana. And the next week, the very next week, he called me up. He said, Mr. Savinsky, Mr. Savinsky. I said, what is it, Mike? He said, I killed the deer. I said, you did? He said, yes, sir. I was taking the church van home last night. And a deer ran in front of me, and I couldn't stop, and I killed the deer. And you didn't say how I had to kill it. I said, well, I guess that counts. Well, he married my daughter, and just a few years ago, Mike killed his first deer. And when he did, my three sons walked up to him and said, Mike, we now officially welcome you in the Savinsky family. But that's wonderful. It really is. We thank God for the family. And you know, young people, the greatest wealth of your life is your family. And I encourage to be close-knit. I call my boys on a weekly basis. My daughter, we love them. And I hope God's blessings upon your life as an individual. Well, today, would you take your Bible and go to 1 Kings chapter 17. As you go there, if you want to get the memorization program, you may see Brother Joe at the close of the service. And by the way, I'd encourage you to get it either this morning or the night, because I've got to leave tomorrow morning. I've got an 1,100-mile trip. I'm going over to the new state of New Hampshire. And so if you want to purchase the set, I'll look at them either this morning or else tonight, okay? The theme verse, which I have taught you young people, is John 3 and verse 30. And you know, you're catching on, and I thank God for that. So I really want you to project it out real good and strong this morning, okay? Here we go. John 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. You really did project that time, so thank you very much. What a wonderful truth found in the Word of God. And I hope that Christ will always be magnified by your life. I've often said this in my ministry. Whenever I rise above the fact that I'm a servant, God's through with me. And that's the heartbeat of my life. I truly want to exalt my Savior with my life. And I hope what I'm giving you from the Word of God will just encourage you in the things of God. Okay, let's all stand right now. 1 Kings 17. And would y'all look at verse 1. And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Our dear Father, we ask today that we'll have your help and power to make known the truth of this passage, to edify your people. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. And be seated. Elijah came on the scene at one of the most crucial times in the history of Israel. The new king was one of the worst who ever ruled over the land. 1 Kings 16:30 says, and Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. This wicked, ungodly man had two goals in mind. He wanted to stamp out the faith of God's people. He wanted them to worship the false god Baal. At that crucial hour, God raised up the great prophet Elijah. Elijah's name means, my God is Jehovah. And this man's very presence was to display the power of God. And that was important. You know why? The people of Israel had lost sight of the Lord. In Acts 17:23, the Apostle Paul said, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye eagerly worship, him declare I unto you. You know, Elijah was to declare this unknown God to Ahab and Jezebel, a husband and wife that were the most diabolical team in the Old Testament. Ahab had no fear of God. His unbelief knew no boundaries. But the vastness of that man's ungodliness was no comparison to the greatness of Elijah's faith. For in 1 Kings 17:1, Elijah said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Whenever a man stands with God, he can withstand all the powers of this earth. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Exodus 14:14, the Lord shall fight for you. Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Romans 8:37, for we are more than conquerors through Him. Psalm 118 and verse 6, the psalmist said, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. And Elijah had no fear. He was bold and courageous, and stood before the king and announced there'd be no rain. And then he laughs. And when he laughed, God led that man to several locations that I want to call your attention. You know why? Because as you go through life, God will lead you at these different locations. And what were they? Well, first of all, look at verse 2 and 3. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and come thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Look here, please. The first location was Cherith. It's at Cherith that we see the provision of God for Elijah. After he gave the message, then God separates him. And then God provided for this man in the most unusual fashion. 1 Kings 17:6 says, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. Now, why did God choose ravens? Ravens are a vulture. They are a dirty bird. Why did God choose ravens to feed the man of God? And the answer is Isaiah 55 verse 8, where God said, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. No, God will provide for you. Look at me, young man. He'll provide for you. Young lady, look at me. He'll provide for you in the most unusual fashion. And all through life, He will have a Cherith for your life. Did you hear me? He'll always have a place of Cherith. He will provide all the time for you. Psalm 37, 25, the psalmist said, I've been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. There will always be a Cherith in your life. Don't you ever push the panic button on God. He'll provide for you. I'm telling you, He'll provide for you. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, God putting at Cherith. Then second of all, look at verse 9. Verse 9. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now look at me. The second location was Zarephath. It's at Zarephath that we see the program of God for Elijah. Zarephath means a smelting furnace. It's a place where they take a huge metal pot. They put broken pieces of metal in that pot. Then they put an extreme hot fire under the pot. And when that pot gets red hot, all of the pieces of metal begin to melt. In the process of melting, all of the impurities in the metal come to the surface. They take a large spoon called a cadle, and they will then scrape all of the impurities off so the metal will be strong in its final state. Now look at this finger out here, please. I'm left-handed. This is my preaching finger, all right? And so, if I could point this finger at each one of you, I'm going to tell you right from my heart, there's impurities in every one of our lives. And the Lord will have to put you out of Zarephath. He will put the heat under your life. He will have these impurities surface that God will extract for one reason, to make you a stronger individual for the cause of Christ. What were the impurities in the life of Elijah? One of them, I believe God was extracting self-reliance. 1 Kings 17:17 says, and this widow's child died. And when the child died, the word of God says that Elijah did two things. The Bible says he cried unto the Lord. Number two, he stretched himself upon the child three times. Now look at me. Have you ever fallen on the floor on your face? I'm not here to impress any one of you. And I'm not ashamed to tell you. There's been times in my ministry when I have literally fallen on my face on the floor. And I have wept. And I have said, dear God, I do not know what to do. And I entirely throw myself upon you. You know what, child of God? Zarephath is very crucial for your life. And you have the heat put under your life. And what you want to do is you want to run. You want to get out from the heat. But you cannot leave the heat. You've got to stay in Zarephath. That's the only way God could shape your life. Psalm 66:12 says, we went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Job 23:10, Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so, He'll put you at Zarephath. That's the program of God for your life. Third of all, Take your Bible now and go to chapter 18, verse 21. And listen what Elijah said. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now look this way, please. The third location was Mount Carmel. It's at Mount Carmel that we see the power of God for Elijah. However, before I go any farther, I must stop and make an observation. You will never go to Mount Carmel first. That would destroy you. No, you've got to go through Cherith and recognize that God will provide for you. Then you've got to go through Zarephath. God has to work in your life. Put the heat under your life. And then one day, he'll allow you to go on Mount Carmel where you will see the power of God. Elijah on Mount Carmel gave a challenge to the 450 prophets of Baal. And Baal was known as the fire god. And he said, you build an altar. You put a bullock on it. And no fire. And you pray to Baal. And they did. They prayed 6 hours to Baal. And they cut themselves with stones and blood was coming from their body. And they were crying out, O Baal, hear us. And yet there was no answer. And they were defeated, exhausted, and weak. And then Elijah came on the scene. And he built the altar. He put a bullock on it. And then he commanded them to put 12 barrels of water upon the altar. And the place was literally soaked. And then Elijah prayed 63 words. And when the 63rd word came out of his mouth, fire fell from heaven, consumed the water, consumed the sacrifice. And the people cried and said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. You know what they saw? They saw the genuine power of God. You know what I long to see in my ministry? I long to see the genuine power of God. Nothing put on. Not trying to work people up. Not playing the emotional string. Keeping my hands off. And when that begins, that begins at home. I didn't forget many years ago. Well, my children were all small. We had a truck. We would leave in January and not get home till Thanksgiving week. And we had a truck that was falling apart. We were putting Band-Aids on the thing to keep the thing together. It was that bad. It really was. And so we, as a family, only were praying for a new truck. And so we were claiming Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. So one day we were leaving the state of Pennsylvania and going down to a youth camp in Tennessee. And we got in the car. And I said, all right, let's quote Philippians 4, verse 6. And as a family, we quoted Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And I said to my family, I said, you know, family, I'm praying this coming fall, the Lord will give us a new truck. When one of my sons piped up and said, hey, Dad, Dad. I said, yes, Scott, what is it? He said, Dad, you know what God could do? I said, no, Scott, what can God do? He said, Dad, God could provide that truck next week. I said, yes, Scott, He could do that, but we're praying for this coming fall. He said that on July the 2nd. July the 5th, 3 days later, at the Bill Rice Ranch in Tennessee, unknown to us, 4 Christian businessmen from the state of Indiana bought us a brand new truck and presented that truck to us that night in front of 800 teenagers and adults. And when they pulled that truck into the auditorium, there was not a dry eye and the place where we got home that evening, I'll never forget as long as I live. My one son, Brent, kept walking through the house and screaming, "Don't tell me there's no God. Don't you tell me there's no God." And my son Scott, he kept walking back, crying out and said, "Don't tell me God does not answer prayer." I cherish that. You know why? Dad kept his hands off. There's a God in heaven who knows every need of my life. There's a God in heaven who knows your need. He can miraculously provide. He can meet every need of your life. But it's not only this matter of seeing that, but what it does when you see things like that happen, somehow it grips the heart of a child where he sees this was of God. This was not anything we did. And somehow that puts in the heart of a child a craving and a longing for the things of God. I could not call my boys in evangelism. And I could not call my daughter to marry a pastor. And my friend, God wants to show His power. And in the spiritual realm, He wants to show His power. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And it's always thrilling to see what God will do. And I tell you what, this morning, in your life, young man, young lady, you ought to crave, you ought to desire before you leave this earth that you see the power of God manifested as you take the journey wherever God calls and uses you. And I hope this morning you'll see the locations are very crucial in all of our lives. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Before I do pray, with our heads bowed, you've listened well, and I thank you for it. You say, "Brother Jerry, this morning in my heart, there are some real needs in my life. I need to be a cherub. I need to see the provision of God." Perhaps some of you say, "You know, Brother Stravinsky, I'm going through a difficult time, and the heat is very hot in my life. And really, I'm tempted to run and go back home. But I know I can't do that. I know God can't shake me if I give in to homesickness. And if I give in to my fears. And I need to stay and let God shake my life." Or else you say, "Brother Stravinsky, you know, I long to see God manifests His power. I long to see that." Before I close in prayer, please, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You want to voice that to your Lord right now. Would you voice above the raised hand across the auditorium? Many of you are raising your hands. Okay, God bless you. Dear Father, we ask today for the need of every student and the faculty and the adults. I pray, Lord, that you meet every need. I pray, Lord, that we'll always trust you and see how you led in the lives of these men of God in the Old Testament and the ladies. And may there be an encouragement to us to follow the example of these individuals. Meet needs, Father, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.